So today we're celebrating the appearance of Lord Nrsimhadeva. So to start off, we can chant this verse from Bhagavad Gita. Please repeat. Paritranaya sadhunam. Vinashaya chaduskritam. Dharma samstapanartaya. Sambhavami yuge yuge. Paritranaya sadhunam. Vinashaya chaduskritam. Dharma samstapanartaya. Sambhavami yuge yuge. Paritranaya sadhunam. Vinashaya chaduskritam. Dharma samstapanartaya. Sambhavami yuge yuge. Paritranaya. For the deliverance. Sadhunam. Of the devotees. Vinashaya. For the annihilation. Cha. And. Dushkritam. Of the miscreants. Dharma. Principles of religion. Samstapana. Artaya. To reestablish. Sambhavami. I do appear. Yuge. Millennium. Yuge. After millennium. Translation. And translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. To deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion, I myself appear millennium after millennium. So Krishna appears in this world in different ages for two purposes: to deliver the sadhus, to deliver the pious persons, and to annihilate the miscreants, and also to reestablish the principles of religion. So Krishna does this many times, and he has 10 principal incarnations called the Das Avatars, and they include Matsya, the fish incarnation, Kurma, the tortoise incarnation, Varaha, the boar incarnation, and others, 10, up to 10 of them. And there are many more than that, but these are the 10 principal ones, and among them is Lord Nrsimhadeva. So the word Nrsimhadeva is made up of three Sanskrit elements. Nri means human, Singha means lion, and Deva means the Lord. So Nrsimhadeva means the Lord who appears as part human, part lion. So the story of his appearance begins a long time ago when the four Kumaras went to Vaikuntha to see Lord Narayan. So the four Kumaras were four sages who always remain in the form of children. You know, they never grew up. So they were always in an innocent state. And they were traveling throughout the spiritual sky, and they wanted to enter the Vaikuntha, one of the Vaikuntha planets, to see Lord Narayan. But at the gates of Vaikuntha, there were guards, Jai and Vijay, and they blocked their path. They wouldn't let them immediately enter. So the four Kumaras cursed them. But then they met Lord Narayan, and Lord Narayan pacified the four Kumaras. He said, "You were totally correct in becoming angry at my servants, and since they are my servants, I have to take responsibility for their actions and blocking your way. So you were correct to curse them, but I'll just kindly ask that while they suffer, they will have to suffer the results of your curse. They will also be allowed to return to me as soon as possible." So, you know, the four Kumaras, they agreed to that. So the servants, Jai and Vijay, had to enter the material world where they took birth three times as demons, asuras. So the first time that this pair of Vaikuntha servants took birth was as the demons Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. They were the sons of the sage Kashyapa and his wife Diti. So Hiranyaksha, he got into a battle with Lord Varahadeva, Lord Boar, and Varaha killed this demon Hiranyaksha. So his brother Hiranyakashipu was very upset by this, so he decided he was going to attack and defeat the demigods, attack and defeat Lord Vishnu if he could find him. So in order to strengthen himself for this purpose, Hiranyakashipu performed severe austerities. He stood on his toes, and eventually all the flesh came off of his bones. While he was doing this, while he was performing these austerities, the demigods took the opportunity to attack his asura or demon associates. So when the demigods attacked the asuras, they captured the wife of Hiranyakashipu, Kayadu, who was pregnant at this time. Actually, there was her son Prahlad was in her womb at this time. So the demigods thought, okay, she's pregnant. Probably some great demon is going to take birth from her womb, so we should kill her. But Narada Muni, the great sage, stopped them because he was aware that actually it would be a great devotee who would take birth from her. So Narada Muni stopped the demigods from taking the life of Kayadu, and to give her shelter, he took her to his ashram, to a secluded place. And there he gave her spiritual instruction. within the womb, Prahlad heard these instructions from Narada Muni and absorbed them and became a great devotee, even though he was going to take birth in the family of a great demon. Meanwhile, Hiranyakashipu was continuing his austerities, and finally he attracted the attention of Lord Brahma, who asked him what he wanted as a result of the austerities that he was performing. So Hiranyakashipu explained that he wanted some benedictions. He wanted benedictions that he would not be killed by any human or any animal. He wanted a benediction that he wouldn't be killed by any weapon. He wanted a benediction that he wouldn't be killed either inside or outside. He wanted a benediction that he would be killed neither in the day nor in the night. So he presented a whole list of benedictions which Lord Brahma granted to him, and he was restored to his normal state. So with these benedictions in hand, Hiranyakashipu actually conquered all the planets within the material universe, excepting a few, like Brahma Loka, for example. But for the most part, he conquered the entire material universe. So he had his son, Prahlad, and of course, he, like any father, he wanted his son to follow in his footsteps. So he wanted to give him a proper education so that he could be trained to take up his responsibilities as a ruler of the Asuras. So he sent him, Hiranyakashipu sent Prahlad to a gurukul run by two great teachers of the Asuras, Sanda and Amarka. And they tried to instruct him in all the arts of diplomacy and politics that a demoniac ruler would need to perform his duties. But he didn't absorb these teachings very well, and actually behind the scenes, he instructed the other students in this school in the principles of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he got them to do kirtan in addition to understanding the philosophy of bhakti yoga, the yoga of devotional service to the Supreme Lord. So sometimes Hiranyakashipu would ask Prahlad, well, what have you learned in school? And he would give answers that his father really didn't like. It became evident to Hiranyakashipu that somehow or other his son had been exposed to teachings coming from the Vaishnavas, the devotees of Lord Vishnu, who was his biggest enemy and who he wanted to conquer. So he didn't like this. You know, he inquired from the teachers in the school, how did he learn these things? He tried in so many ways to get him to renounce these teachings, but he would never renounce them. Hiranyakashipu said his son was kind of like the tail of a dog, which is curled. If you try to straighten it out, it doesn't straighten itself out. It immediately curves back. So he was trying to get rid of these Vaishnava teachings that had entered his son's mind, but his son wouldn't give them up. So Hiranyakashipu actually tried to have his son killed in so many different ways. But despite all these threats, Prahlad didn't obey his father. It's kind of interesting. The Prime Minister of India was recently speaking about this. Last week I was in India, in Ujjain, which is a city in the Madhya Pradesh state of India. And, you know, they're having a Kumbh Mela there now. It's just ending. Where millions of people from all over India come to take bath in the Chitra River, which is there. It's one of the four places in India where they hold Kumbh Mela. And in connection with that celebration, the government of Madhya Pradesh had a conference, and they invited different scholars to come and speak, and I was one of them. You know, they also invited the Prime Minister of India to speak. It's kind of interesting. Although modern India is in so many ways degraded from its original state, still there's some remnants of spirituality and piety there. It would be almost like if you could imagine that the governor of California, in connection with Rath Yatra in L.A., were to stage a conference of scholars to discuss the importance of the event and how it will help people, and then also invite President Obama to the event. It was an event sort of like that. So one of the things the Prime Minister was talking about was how India has these great spiritual personalities whose behavior sometimes seems contradictory, but there's a unifying principle behind it. For example, he said that in India, well, we worship Lord Ram, because he obeyed the order of his father, you know, to go into exile, into the forest. But he said, we also worship Prahlad, who disobeyed his father, Hiranyakashipu. So, you know, that was sort of interesting. So Hiranyakashipu tried to have his son killed in so many ways. He was thrown off cliffs. He was attacked with weapons. But Krishna protected him in all of these circumstances. So in the end, Hiranyakashipu decided he was going to take on the task himself. And he was challenging Prahlad. So this God that you talk about, who's going to protect you, is he here now? Is he going to stop me from doing away with you? Is he in this pillar? There were so many pillars in the palace. So at that moment, Lord Nrisimhadev burst out of the pillar, and he began to fight with Hiranyakashipu, who attacked him in so many ways. But Lord Nrsingadev quickly destroyed Hiranyakashipu, quickly defeated him, killed him. And he did so in a way that preserved all the benedictions that had been offered by Lord Brahma to Hiranyakashipu. He was not killed by either a human being or an animal, but by an entity, by a being who was part lion, part human. He wasn't killed on the ground or in the air, but he was killed on the lap of Lord Nrsingadev. He wasn't killed in the day or the night, but at dusk, which is between the day and the night. He wasn't killed on the inside or in the outside, but he was killed at the portico of this palace, which is neither inside nor outside. So Lord Nrsingadev carried out the functions of an incarnation of the personality of Godhead. He saved his devotee, he destroyed the demon, and he established religious principles. So we can see here Lord Nrsingadev in his form as Ugra Nrsinga, terrible Nrsinga, manifesting great anger. So after Nrsingadev killed Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyakashipu's remaining associates and soldiers tried to avenge the death of their master by attacking Nrsingadev, and Nrsingadev defeated and killed all of them, this huge army of demons, asuras. So then he was sitting there and manifesting the symptoms of his transcendental anger, and all the demigods wanted to pacify him somehow, but they were all afraid to approach Lord Nrsingadev, so they selected Prahlad Maharaj to approach Lord Nrsingadev. And Lord Nrsingadev was pacified in the presence of Prahlad Maharaj, his devotee. And Nrsingadev offered Prahlad any benediction he wanted. But Prahlad just said, "Kindly be merciful to my father." So Lord Nrsingadev also figures in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. On one occasion, Lord Chaitanya was in the house of Srivas Thakur, and Srivas Thakur was reciting the thousand names of Lord Vishnu, one after another. And then he came to the name of Lord Nrsingadev. And when Lord Chaitanya heard the name of Lord Nrsingadev, he entered into the mood of Lord Nrsingadev. He began to manifest transcendental anger, and he picked up a club and he ran out into the streets and he was roaring and running around and chasing after people. saying, "Where are the demons? I'm going to kill them all." But then he noticed how frightened everyone was, and he became a little embarrassed. So he went back to the house of Srivas Thakur and confessed, "Well, maybe I shouldn't have manifested that mood of Lord Nrisimhadev." And Srivas Thakur said, "No, anyone who saw you in that mood was delivered." But it was a fact that Lord Chaitanya, who is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, came to not kill the demons, but to kill the demoniac attitude in people in Kali Yuga. So on another occasion, Lord Chaitanya was in Jagannath Puri, and he told a devotee named Srikanta Sen to go back to Bengal, to Mayapur, and tell the devotees not to come to Jagannath Puri that year. Their custom was every year to go from Mayapur in Bengal to Jagannath Puri in Orissa to visit Lord Chaitanya, who had made his headquarters there. But Lord Chaitanya told Srikanta Sen, "And this year I'm going to go to Bengal and visit the devotees instead of them coming to visit me." So Srikanta Sen went to Mayapur and told the devotees like Shivananda Sen and Jagadananda Pandit that Lord Chaitanya didn't want them to come to Puri this year. He was going to come and visit them in a certain month. And the devotees waited and waited and waited, and Lord Chaitanya didn't come, so they became very morose. So there was a devotee named Pradyumna Brahmachari who actually had been given the name Nrisimhananda Brahmachari by Lord Chaitanya, because Lord Chaitanya could understand that in his heart he was always meditating on Lord Nrisimhadev. So Lord Chaitanya gave him the name Nrisimhananda Brahmachari. So this Nrisimhananda Brahmachari was in Mayapur, and he saw how depressed the devotees like Shivananda Sen and Jagadananda Pandit were. And he asked them, "Why are you so depressed?" And they told him, "Well, Lord Chaitanya had promised to come here from Jagannath Puri, but he's not coming, and we're depressed for that reason." And Nrisimhananda Brahmachari said, "Within 3 days, I will bring him here." So he entered into a state of trance. And after 2 days, he told the devotees, "Lord Chaitanya has come as far as Panahati, and tomorrow he will come here. He will arrive in Mayapur, and I am going to cook for him. I'm going to prepare a meal for him, so kindly give me all the ingredients." So the next morning, they brought all ingredients for cooking to this Nrisimhananda Brahmachari, and he began to cook. And by the afternoon, he had prepared a huge feast, and he prepared to offer it to the Lord. He had 3 plates made, a plate for Lord Chaitanya, a plate for Lord Jagannath, and a plate for Lord Nrisimhadev. And in his trance, he observed Lord Chaitanya come. And Lord Chaitanya ate all the prasadam on all three of the offering plates. And Nrisinghananda Brahmachari was very upset. He said, well, I can understand you taking Lord Jagannath's prasadam. You and Lord Jagannath are the same. But now you've taken my Lord Nrisinghadev's offering also. So now today, Lord Nrisinghadev is going to have to fast. So why have you done that? But then Lord Chaitanya, he understood that Lord Chaitanya was also Lord Nrisinghadev as well. So the devotees were a little mystified. He told them, I brought Lord Chaitanya here. He ate all the prasadam that I offered, all the bhoga that I offered to Jagannath, Chaitanya, and Nrisinghadev. And now he's gone. So the devotees didn't know what to think about that. They were wondering, is this really true? Because, you know, Lord Chaitanya can appear in two forms. Shakshat, his manifest appearance, or Avirbhav, which means he's present but not necessarily visible to everyone. So the devotees were very mystified by this. And the next year they went to Jagannath Puri, and Lord Chaitanya greeted them and said, oh, remember how last year I came to Mayapur and took all the offerings made by Nrisinghadev Brahmachari, including the offering to Lord Nrisinghadev. So Lord Chaitanya, during his travels in South India, he visited many Nrisinghadev temples, like the Singh Achalam temple near Vishakhapatnam, where there's deities of Lord Nrisinghadev, the Pana Narsingha temple near Vijayawad in Andhra Pradesh, and the Ahovalam temple. So Lord Chaitanya would visit these temples and chant prayers to Lord Nrisinghadev and go into ecstasy there when he would see these deities of Lord Nrisinghadev. So it's a big part of our Krishna consciousness movement to worship Lord Nrisinghadev. And actually in Los Angeles, I don't know if it was this temple or the previous temple, but on one occasion, the temple was attacked. Somebody threw a pipe bomb into the temple one morning and it blew up. Nobody was injured very severely, but Srila Prabhupada taught the devotees of the L.A. temple the Nrisinghadev prayers at that time. And you know, he instructed them to always chant every day the prayers to Lord Nrisinghadev for protection of the devotees. And this is, you know, one of the main functions of Lord Nrisinghadev, to protect the devotees, to destroy the demons, and establish religious principles. So the devotees would also chant this prayer specifically for the protection of their spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. So, even today, Lord Nrisinghadev is present in Jambudweep. You know, according to the fifth canto of, you know, the Srimad Bhagavatam, Jambudweep is divided into nine sections. One part is Bharatavarsha, which you see down at the bottom. That's where we're present. But there are other varshas. There's Kim Purusha Varsha, there's Hari Varsha, and in each Varsha, a particular incarnation of the Lord is worshipped. In Hari Varsha, Lord Nisringadev is present, and he's worshipped there by Prahlad and other devotees. And this is explained in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the chapter, the residents of Jambudweep offer prayers to the Lord in the different forms that he exists in the different parts of Jambudweep. So the prayer, one of the prayers that Prahlad offers to Lord Nisringadev is this one. Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya Namastejas Tejase Avir Avirbhava Vajranaka Vajradamstra Karmashayan Randaya Randaya Tamo Grasa Grasa Om Swaha Abhayam Abhayam Atmani Bhuyishta Om Shraum. That is, I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Nisringadev, the source of all power, O my Lord, who possesses nails and teeth just like thunderbolts, kindly vanquish our demon-like desires for fruit of activity in this material world. Please appear in our hearts and drive away our ignorance, so that by your mercy we may become fearless in the struggle for existence in this material world. So for us, this is a very important way on which to meditate on Lord Nisringadev, to ask him to enter into our hearts. Because we're always confronted as devotees with a choice, whether to follow the upward path up towards Krishna Loka and pure devotional service, or to be influenced by lust, anger, greed, and other material qualities that take us on the downward path. So we can pray to Lord Nisringadev to enter into our hearts and destroy whatever remnants of demoniac tendencies there may be in our hearts. And in this way, get free from the cycle of birth and death and be established in our constitutional position as eternal servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we also see that some of our devotees follow in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj, who in the school of the Asuras was preaching the principles of devotional service. So we see that members of the Krishna consciousness movement following in the footsteps of Prahlad sometimes go to schools and universities to introduce the students to the principles of devotional service. So we can meditate on these things today. Sri Nisringadev ki jai, Prahlad Maharaj ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you.